Hi guys, it's RJ from Wake Up Rider, and today I'm joined by Ellis,
Hey.
Owen,
Hello.
and Brian. And
Hello.
today on the show, we have a very special guest joining us. His band was the Billboard Music Award nominee for Alternative Song of the Year in 1994, and the two-time recipient of platinum certification for their albums Fear and Dulcinea. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are joined by Glenn Phillips, frontman of Toad the Wet Sprocket. Glenn, how are you doing?
I'm good. Happy to be here.
First things first, you're from Santa Barbara. How is the scene there like in the mid to late 80s when your band was formed, and how has it changed now?
I know less about the scene. I mean, there used to be more middle class here. I think the strange thing about the bands now is like there's all these like rock schools and school programs for bands. And kind of back in our day, it's like if you had a rock band, you had to find the one parent who would tolerate you playing in the garage. It's not like you had the band dads who were like totally into it, you know? You were a little more on your own. But Santa Barbara, because it was a smaller town, I think had a lot of support between the bands. I was just remembering recently, like, there's this place called the Red Barn, which was city owned in Isla Vista. It was like in a park near UCSB, and all the punk bands would play there. They'd rent it out for the night and they'd have these big punk shows. And then we would get up and everybody would just like sit cross-legged on the floor and watch.
That's awesome.
I don't know. It wasn't like one sound, one scene. Everybody did their own thing and everybody kind of supported everybody else's music. And one of the weirder things that happened to us, there was this club called, well, not club, it was this like dive bar, basically, but it was called Pat's Grass Shack. And he was just a cheap bastard. He didn't really care about local music, but he wouldn't pay ASCAP or BMI. So ASCAP and BMI are the licensing organizations where if you're playing recorded music or playing cover songs, the songwriters have to be paid. Well, he thought that was a terrible idea, but he needed music in his bar. So like the radio was never on because legally he couldn't turn it on because he didn't pay ASCAP or BMI. So he had local bands play and we would play for the door and we weren't allowed to play any covers. And so, like, really early on, you know, I was 16 or something, we were playing in this bar and we had to have a full set of original music immediately. It was great because it taught me how to write, like, you know, it taught us how to write and how to be a band. But I think that we also missed that thing that most bands get where you play covers for years. You know, it's a little bit like walking before you crawl.
So when you're touring New Jersey, what is one place you always visit or one place you'd really like to visit?
Oh, Trenton, man. It's all about Trenton.
You released your latest album Starting Now in 2021, and all the songs in the 10-track LP were written by you. What was the writing process like?
I mean, it was pretty varied. It started before lockdown. I'd been, you know, just writing songs, wanting to do a new project, and kind of once we got in lockdown territory, Todd, you know, was with COVID, was just not in a writing mood. It got a little strange in that way because usually we're about half and half on a record.
Yeah, COVID, like, how did it affect you guys in other ways? Like, were you guys able to meet up as much to record or like to practice? Like, how did that affect you?
We didn't. I mean, that's kind of the crazy thing. Like, we just emailed stuff.
Was there any song that you recorded that you were surprised that got popular?
I don't know. I'm always surprised anything has traction. I mean, All I Want was surprising to us. We almost didn't put it on the record because we thought we were this like indie college band and it sounded like too much like a pop song. And I mean, even the record company, although they will all say they knew it, you know, they retcon it. So they're like, ah, first time I heard that, I just knew that, you know, but it was the third single off the record. It was 9 months into the record before that came out. We'd already been on the road for 9 months. And I mean, it changed our lives. It was amazing that song took off. But, and even the fact that it took off was just, it was such an artifact of the time. Things were kind of wild and it wasn't all one flavor at the time. And so we were getting played on college radio, rock radio. They were just starting to call it alternative radio. And you know, we were getting played on top 40 pop radio and we even got a little play on country radio, but we came in with All I Want at this like really exciting window in commercial radio.